Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back. We are on episode number
97.
Wow, 97 episodes, guys. That is insane.
And today's an exciting day because we have officially finished chapter 11 and woo-hoo. We're starting a new chapter.
Chapter 12. Yeah. That's incredible. Okay, so a lot happened. Just a really quick recap of chapter 11. Oof. If no one ever read or no one listened to the last, like, whatever, 10 episodes of chapter 11, what happened in chapter 11?
It was such a good chapter.
It really was.
We felt it deep in our bones. We felt the goosebumps. Yeah. Basically, Krishna showed Arjuna his universal form. Mm. And within that, there was a lot of understanding and realization. Arjuna became humbled because he realized, I've been seeing you as my friend and cousin and mentor, but you're greater than that. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Totally.
He's like, I love you. I'm afraid of you. Oh my God.
There was a lot of emotion coming out of Arjuna.
Oh, yeah. And it was interesting because there was one part where he was almost repeating back to verses from chapter 10, but repeating it now after having seen the totality of who Krishna is. And he's like, you really are the light of the sun and the moon and this and that. And
yes.
Yeah. And then all he did when he saw there was a moment where it's like the effulgence of Krishna's universal form was like with like 10 million suns or whatnot. Right.
Yeah.
And then all that Arjuna could do was just bow and fold his hands. And so that was really beautiful because like, what can you do when you literally see God and everything God is? He just folded his hands and bowed his head. It was really, really beautiful.
And it was interesting because at the end, he really just wanted to see again his two-armed form. Like they said, I think someone who's really serious about pure devotional service and about that intimate connection with Krishna isn't interested in this incredible, fantastical form, but just wants to see his form as Krishna.
Yes. I do think the fantastical form is really cool. Yeah. And two-armed form is cool too. But like my background image on my cell phone is the universal form because I just think it is pretty cool.
Yeah. And
that doesn't make me less than.
No. And I agree though. I think it adds almost like once you have seen the universal form, when you see again the two-armed form, it adds to like the weight of that.
You're like, oh man, I know that I'm just seeing two arms, but like you had like 17 million heads like a second ago. Like you should have seen it.
Totally.
For sure.
No, all right.
I think maybe, well, anyways, that was just a recap. But if you go back, we have conversations about why maybe Arjuna prefers a two-arm form and all of that. And we go into details. But now we are in chapter 12, ladies.
Yes.
It's called Devotional Service.
Oh, very nice. Fun. All culminating in this.
Yeah. All right. The invocation, please.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. Mm. All right. Mm. Chapter 12, ladies, verse number 1.
Ooh, yes. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect? Those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested?
Well, one more time.
Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect? Those who are always engaged in your devotional service or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested?
I think this is a rhetorical question. I feel like we know the answer to this.
Right?
I feel like we've covered this multiple times. Yeah. And I think Arjuna is just like, just to make sure. Because we all know the answer to this.
Yeah, actually, it says it in the purport. Let me see where it's kind of later. It says Arjuna is trying to settle the question of which process is easier and which of the classes is the most perfect. Mm-hmm. He is clarifying his own position because he is attached to the personal form of Krishna. He wants to know whether his position is secure.
Mm. Oh, so it's like kind of when you ask your friend, like, hey, do you like me? And like they're going to say yes, but he just wants to hear it one more time.
He's kind of like, are we best friends or are you best friends with people who just kind of like like a different form of you or something. I don't
know. Like an unmanifested form of you. That's not like cool or anything, but like, who do you like better? The people who like your personal form or the people who like don't like your personal form at all?
Yeah.
And we know what Krish is going to say.
And you're right that he kind of already knows this, but I think it's kind of like what he did in chapter 11, where he repeated things from chapter 10 after having seen Krishna. So here he already kind of established this before, but now after having seen Krishna, Prabhupada says that Arjuna experienced in this 11th chapter that we just did, he actually felt this attachment to Krishna's personal form because he just like, okay, wow, you're God. Whoa, you really are all of this. He feels now this direct attachment to the personal form. And he's wanting to, like you said, Priya, confirm like, so this is the correct position. Right? Because he could.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because you're saying like Arjuna is almost asking like, oh, should I worship you? Or like, should I maintain a friendship with you or worship you as like.
Oh, as man. God, God.
Yeah. I don't know how to explain it. Like, basically, is it like, should I be in awe and in fear of you the way I felt in the moment when I was seeing your universal form? Or is it okay for me to be your friend?
That's big. Okay.
Right? Like, it's like, how do you have awe and reverence towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and also be their best friend?
Yeah, because remember what just happened to him. Arjuna just went through something extraordinary, right? Yeah. He just saw everything that God is. So he's just clarifying because he's like, should I still be your friend or should I worship this multi-headed form of yours?
Totally. You're right. Because he's not the same as he was in chapter 10. Chapter 11 transformed him. So now he wants to like cover all the bases of like, I know this, but now that I went through that, let me tie back to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And Prabhupada says here that, he in the 11th chapter felt this attachment to Krishna's personal form and he could understand that all the other,
if you can't see what's happening right now, like Shyamalan, we're filming in Orange County today and Shyamalan doesn't have a book stand. So she's literally holding the Gita as if she was a 95-year-old man, just like so close to
it's
her
a
face.
Full workout actually.
It's like she's holding it like an old man reading a book who can't really see good. That's how she's holding the Gita.
And Shama decided that it was a great time to make fun of her as Shamali was speaking.
Which I was already really trying hard at the beginning of the episode to not laugh and hold it together. So
no, but when you see your friend like being an old man, it's just hilarious.
Okay. You're welcome.
Sorry,
you're welcome.
Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you.
I won't be able to do this seriously. Anyway, so Arjuna also, after having experienced that in chapter 11, Prabhupada says that he could understand that all of the other forms at the same time were contained within the universal form. And that would mean no disturbance for his love for Krishna. So he actually got a taste of like, when we worship the personal form, everything is encompassed in that, even the impersonal form.
That makes sense. That's what I said.
We both responded really quickly, but I swear we processed that.
I swear we processed everything you just said. That was very beautiful.
Basically, I also think this is setting us up to kind of say personality, like having a personal relationship is the main point, right? Because this chapter is called devotional service. So we're clarifying like impersonal versus personal because devotional service implies having a personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
So I think we're kind of like starting at zero, even though it seems we've already talked about this. It's kind of like, okay, well, Arjuna has gone through a whole process. He needs to clarify for sure.
Right.
And also we're about to talk about devotional service. So let's clarify. What does that look like? Mm. Right. And so.
It's a good introductory question for this paragraph.
Yeah. And you're right, Priya, that it totally is a recap because up above, Prabhupada's saying basically in every single chapter, the conclusion has been that one should be attached to the personal form of Krishna. So just a brief sentence of each one. Do you see the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, what is explained there? We can kind of ping pong back and forth. It says in the second, in the seventh, in the eighth, they give the one sentence summary of like, what is the main point there?
Okay.
So what is the main point of the second chapter? And then Shama, you can say the seventh chapter.
In the second chapter, the Supreme Lord explained that a living entity is not the material body. He is a spiritual spark.
Right.
Oh, do I continue?
Yeah, last one.
And the absolute truth is the spiritual whole.
Beautiful. Clear as day. Seventh chapter.
All right. In the seventh chapter, he spoke of the living entity as being part and parcel of the supreme whole and recommended that he transfer his attention fully to the whole.
Right. And then
should we be like explaining these as we read them? Like, because it takes a second to process it.
You're right. I processed nothing.
Okay, let's go back to the second chapter.
Let's go again.
The person who reads it has to process it. Go. Go.
Sounds good. Okay, so in the second chapter, the Supreme Lord explained that a living entity is not the material body. He or she is a spiritual spark. That makes sense, right? We're not this body. We're the soul, which is a spiritual spark. Mm-hmm. And the absolute truth, meaning Krishna, is the spiritual whole. Mm. So Krishna
whole
is like
meaning whole.
Wholesomeness.
Yes.
The full.
Because when you just read it as Krishna is the spiritual whole, that sounds terrible.
Spiritual triangles.
For everyone who's listening, who can't see us,
that's hilarious.
Priyadarshini is saying that Krishna is the spiritual whole,
not like parts the and spiritual whole right? Like right together. Yes. Thank you for that clarification.
It's very important clarification.
Very important. Okay.
What would be an example of that?
Like a drop of water in the ocean, right? So Krishna is the ocean. We are a drop of water. We are the soul. We're that spark.
That perfectly captures. We're the same. What do they say? The same quality, different quantity, right? They've said that before.
Krishna is.
Yes. Because our soul is sat chit ananda, bliss, eternality, knowledge, but in a smaller amount, a little spark.
Yes.
Very nice.
Krishna is the spiritual whole, whole.
Okay, is that your summary? You're done?
No, it's not. She needs to say the seventh chapter. Go.
In the seventh chapter.
We're figuring out the structure on the fly, obviously.
In the seventh chapter, Krishna spoke of the living entity as being part and parcel of the supreme whole, whole. Oh, God. And recommended that he transfer his attention fully to the whole.
Sorry. This was a terrible line for you to read.
W-H-O-L-E.
Thank you. Okay, so basically, Krishna is saying that we, the living entity, are a little bit, a tiny bit of Krishna, and that our job is to transfer our attention fully to Krishna.
Perfect.
Nice.
Well said.
Okay, and then again, in the eighth chapter, it was said that anyone who thinks of Krishna at the time of quitting his body is at once transferred to the spiritual sky, to the abode of Krishna. So right, us being that little tiny spark of the whole, whole, if we think of Krishna at the time of death, we'll be reunited with him. We're just going to go back to where we already belong.
And that's the biggest exam of this entire life, is remembering Krishna at that time of death.
Yeah, it seems like all of these are like very important summaries of the Bhagavad Gita.
This is basically the one paragraph that has everything that's important.
And Priya, do you want to take us home with the sixth chapter?
Yes. At the end of the sixth chapter, the Lord clearly said that all of the yogis, one who always thinks of Krishna within himself, is considered the most perfect. Mm. So in practically every chapter, the conclusion has been that one should be attached to the personal form of Krishna, for that is the highest spiritual realization.
See, beautiful. That's what I said. Literally. This is literally like a rhetorical question.
So it's almost funny now, because like Shama said, this is absolutely basically a summary of the Gita of how we've the whole time been talking about the personal form is better. And then Arjuna's like, it's been a bit vague, but can you tell me?
No, I don't think he thinks it's vague. I think he's just kind of like, okay, guys, think about it, okay?
I was saying that jokingly.
He went through something traumatic. And so he's just making sure, because like I'd be shivering in my boots if I was Arjuna during that last chapter.
So that's why let's talk about, you're about to say what you think Arjuna's mood is here. Because I think if we just interpret it point blank, like, is he seriously asking this question, or what is Arjuna's mood here? Because obviously it's been clear the whole time, but I agree what we were saying in the beginning. He went through something transformative. Yeah. He is not the same Arjuna as in chapter 10.
I mean, I think if we break it down to something more practical, right? We've talked about the idea of like, let's say that Shama Sangeeta was best friends with this person named
Gregory.
Priya and Shamli. Oh.
Wow. Neither of those. You went to Shamli and Priya and I went to made up Gregory.
I'm going to go with Miley Cyrus.
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You're friends with Miley Cyrus. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's just a regular person, Miley Cyrus. But then one day you find out she's also Hannah Montana.
Wow.
Okay. You're 12 also, by the way. This only makes sense if you're 12.
Got it.
And you now, this person that you're best friends with, oh, this is a famous person. How do I treat them now? Like, what? How does that change my dynamic with this person? Because they're my best friend, but they're also this like super famous pop star, right? Mm. Like basically the question is, hey, we're buddies. Does anything change now that I know you're famous?
Wow, that was really good. I feel like I'm a little too old for this reference, but I really appreciated that.
No, totally. Yeah, and the way I thought of it almost is like, let's say you're really good friends with someone and they tell you different things. You mean so much to me. Yeah, when we connect in this personal way, it's the best, la, la, la. And then let's say something happens that makes you really, like, you both realize we love each other. We're in love. It takes it, like, it changes the whole dynamics of the relationship. Then you're going to want to revisit some of the things they said, but now from this new lens of like, so like, you really love me and you really want us to take this in a very personal way. And like, I don't know, something that just rattles the whole foundation of the relationship.
Yes. Maybe where you make, you question everything a little bit and you question how to move forward too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're I think that's why, things. Like, I don't think he doesn't know what's happening. I think it's just kind of like, with all the new information, do I still treat you as my best friend?
Yeah. Mm. I was more thinking in a funny way, like someone might think that, like, is this a serious question? We've been going over this, but that's why I think like it's worth exploring what Arjuna's feeling.
Honestly, if I was not reading this with y'all, I probably would have read that and be like, oh my God, we already talked about this. And I would have gone to the next text.
Exactly what I'm saying. Someone might think that. And if reading it alone, if we don't dissect it, I would probably think the same, like, we talked about this.
Yes, but it has a new meaning.
Yeah, I think we need to be a little bit more sympathetic to post chapter 11 Arjuna.
I agree. And okay, explain.
Yeah, because he went through a lot.
He did.
He literally saw all of Krishna's heads and limbs and fire breathing dragons and planets and literally everything. Mm-hmm. So like, he's a little shooketh right now.
He is shooketh.
He's shooketh.
He was like, that was my cousin. And now what are you?
So we just need to be a little bit more compassionate
Think of any traumatic event you've gone through in your own life. Someone who was in your life before that event might have said some things. And once you go through that event, things change and you want to kind of revisit things that maybe have been already established. Yeah. That's so natural in a human dynamic. Yeah. So what and to speak of this?
Not that chapter 11 was a traumatic. It was more of a positive traumatic event.
I think we all felt that in a positive way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But traumatic can just be like
trauma. Trauma's trauma.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was intense. It was intense.
Intense. Okay. Moving on. Yes?
Yeah. I think.
We've covered that like round and round.
The final thing to note is, in case anyone's forgotten, transcendentalists can be divided into these two classes. So whenever we're talking about personal and impersonal, we're talking about people who are trying to transcend the material realm and connect with divinity. So you can connect with Krishna in a personal way or impersonal.
Are we transcendentalists?
I think so, ladies.
Or are we aspiring transcendentalists?
That's probably more humble.
That's probably more humble, right? Yeah. Okay.
We are, exceptional transcendentalists.
We're exceptionally trying hard to be transcendentalists.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Okay.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Text two.
Shamasangita.
All right. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshiping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect.
Krishna was like, let me be more specific. It's not about whether manifested or unmanifested. It's about the fact that focus on me.
Yeah.
Me as a person, me in your mind, me in the presence in front of you.
Yeah. So he literally gave him the answer without any sort of wishy-washiness.
No.
Krishna said,
very clear.
Fix your mind on my personal form, engage in worshiping me, and consider me to be most perfect.
Yeah. There's this part in the purport that I really like. Basically, Prabhupada goes to say, a pure devotee is constantly engaged. Sometimes he chants. Sometimes he hears or reads books about Krishna. Or sometimes he cooks prasadam. Or goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna. Or sometimes he washes the temple or the dishes. Whatever he does, he does not let a single moment pass without devoting his activities to Krishna. Such action is in full samadhi, meaning fully focused.
Ooh, right.
Guys, what out of the things that Priya just said, what do you guys need to do more of? So Priya said, the person does more chanting, more hearing, more reading, more cooking prasadam, more going to the market to buy things for Krishna, washing dishes, temple, going to temple.
Well, I'm going to X out washing dishes. It's not my favorite. Okay. But Krishna's dishes, I will always do with pleasure.
All right. What do you want to do more of?
When I was growing up, we would have these like maha cleanup days at the temple.
Okay.
And those were really fun. Basically, everyone would get together from the community and we would clean the whole temple. So you would get into all the nooks and cranny and like clean everything and organize everything. And I love organizing things. So it was like a perfect Krishna conscious activity for me. And I haven't done that in a long time. I don't know if they do it here at the temple, but that would be really cool.
By next recording, you will have cleaned and organized your home temple or an outside temple.
Listen,
boom! This is called helping each other.
Sure.
Was that not consensual?
Okay, sorry.
What do you think?
First and foremost, as I said, I love organizing. So do you not think my altar at home is organized? But you know what? There's always room for more. So yes, I'll take you up on it.
Okay. All right, Shamali.
Very nice. Be careful, Shamali.
That's great.
I know.
Shamali,
I'll tread carefully here.
What do you want to do more of?
Okay. Ooh, I'll tell you my answer, and then I'll say because a couple weeks ago, I felt the effect of when I did this and I loved it. And I'll tell one little moment that I felt there. So I think it's two parts. I'd like to, number one, really read more, like take the time to read more. My Kadamba Kanamaraj, my spiritual master, says that we don't often make vows, like we make vows to chant a certain amount of rounds to do these principles, but we don't make a vow to read. And that's as important because that's what fuels your japa. And if you don't read, japa will start becoming very difficult, you know? And so read more consistently. And number two, I would like to really make more and more time to sit and close my eyes and chant. I often chant on the go, or I like to do japa walks and chant, but like, and sometimes I sit and close my eyes and I can feel the difference in those rounds. So I'd like to do more rounds like that. So more sitting, chanting while reading.
Can I ask some clarifying questions?
Oh, okay. Goodness.
What exactly do you want to read?
Oh my God.
Oh, well,
we're doing this because I want all of our listeners to like think about what they can do based off of what we are doing in our lives to increase our devotion and samadhi.
Huge. I love that. And when we're going to interrogate you,
it's going to be real fun.
Okay, yes.
Okay, cool.
So,
Shamali, what are you going to read?
Yes, what am I? I mean, there's so much to read, but let me give you an example of why I'm thinking of this because I had a really nice moment of connection last week and I thought, okay, if I could only do that more often, that'd be real nice. So last week was almost like a little mini spirit, like a local spiritual retreat where I felt like every single day there was some kirtan program, some this. There's this really well-known kirtan singer, Madhava, who does beautiful kirtan. So there was like at a yoga studio close to my house, he did one thing. And then the next day was another thing. So every day felt like a spiritual high. And what I did one of the days, in the yoga studio, I remember I went with my mom and my mom was really feeling the kirtan. And I remember like, I enjoyed it, but I didn't feel so connected. Like, and she was describing this feeling. And I remember internally praying like, oh, Krishna, I would love to feel that also. The next day we had another program. So I prayed that night, like, I really want to feel that connection. I felt a little, not disconnected, because it's always nice doing kirtans, but I didn't feel what my mom was feeling. That's for sure.
Yep.
And it was at a yoga studio. So you had a lot of yoga crowd that weren't necessarily into bhakti. They all seemed to be really feeling it. They were dancing and jumping and the acoustics in the yoga studio, it made it so loud and so powerful. It was beautiful. But I could feel in my heart that I wasn't tapping into the depths of what kirtan can make you feel. So then the next day, what I had in my mind was Madhava had said something like, the holy name we know is non-different from Krishna. So Krishna chooses when to come to you. It's not like we can dictate to Krishna when we'll feel it. That's up to Krishna. So I remember having that in mind. Okay, Krishna will come to me when Krishna wants to come to me. And that morning before the kirtan program, the next day, I was listening to the Bhagavatam on Audible. And I heard the story of Dhruva Maharaj. So, I mean, I was listening. I wasn't reading it, but still, same thing. I was bathing my mind in the transcendental stories. And the story of Dhruva... What are you laughing at, Shama?
She was bathing her mind in the transcendental stories.
She's very poetic.
That's how she says, I like audiobooks. I was bathing my mind in the transcendental stories of the Lord. She's like, basically, that's the translation. Is like, I don't know how to read.
And that's exactly what I meant. But all
sorry,
right.
Continue.
Yes, yes.
We're in an era of Shama and Shamali picking on each other. This is part
I
of
love
life.
This era.
Me too. It's real fun. It's fun. I can't wait for your answer. Prepare. Anyway, so I heard the story that morning of Dhruva Maharaj. And I heard the one part in the chapter where Krishna appears to him. And it was so emotional. And one day maybe we can tell the story of Dhruva, but basically he wanted a kingdom as big as his father's. So he did all this austerity and meditation to ask that of Krishna. Finally, when Krishna shows up in front of him, all of his other desires vanish. And he's like, oh my God, he's like trembling. And remember when we were really feeling what Arjuna must have, we were imagining what Arjuna must have felt when seeing the universal form. Mm-hmm. Well, that moment was like, I was getting ready in the bathroom and I was like, wow, this is far out. And then I went to the Kirtan program in this beautiful ashram of Giriraj Maharaj in Carpinteria. And I closed my eyes and I was just really like trying to blank out all other noises. And I heard the Kirtan in a different way. And I felt for a moment like I got choked up and I felt like my hair stood on end and I could feel, maybe I was imagining, whatever the feeling was, I don't care if I was imagining or Krishna was coming up, but whatever it was magical. Mm. And later, I didn't tell anyone about that feeling. And later someone else there said, oh, this one moment that I felt Krishna was there. And then another woman said, yeah, I felt that too. Krishna was there. So we all started revealing in the same moment in the Kirtan, we all felt Krishna was really there. And it was so beautiful and so powerful. And I felt that was just fueled by surrendering, feeling like Krishna will come to you when he wants to come to you, but also taking the steps to hear about him, to read about him. So that's what I would like to do more of. That's what cool, is your question?
Cool story, bro. But like,
whoa, before you go into whatever you're going to say, I love that. That was really sweet. And I also would like to read more. I do 100% like think that when you read, you get super excited and interested and then you want to chant more and be more involved. So I do think it's such an important part of our sadhana.
Thank you.
Go ahead,
and
Shama.
To all the audience, I can read. I know how to read.
I'm joking. Shami knows how to read. Cool story, bro. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. So what are you going to say? What's your feedback?
What books are you going to read?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't answer my question at all.
Okay. So that's fair.
That example was from the Bhagavatam. Was Canto 5 of the Bhagavatam.
I'm bathing your mind.
Bathing my intellect in the transcendental stories. You know. So I'm going to continue with the audible of the Bhagavatam.
Okay.
The book that I'm actually like a tangible book that I've been reading that I want to be more consistent at reading is by Srila Prabhupada's personal servant, Shruti Kirtan. I think that's his name. And he wrote a book, What is the Difficulty? It's all of the, it's basically like his personal journal from the time he served Prabhupada and all these stories he collected. And just feeling Prabhupada's mood brings a lot of love to like, it brings it all to life. Yeah. So I just really want to read more. I have a whole stack of books. I could start rattling a whole list of
begin. One at a time is fine.
Okay. That's okay. Good. So what do you want to do more of, Shama?
Priya wants to organize for the Lord. You want to read more for the Lord. You're also reading more.
Yeah, I want to read more for the Lord.
Perfect.
Yeah, so what do you want to do?
Okay,
more?
So what am I bad at?
Treat basically people nicer.
All
especially people named Shamali.
So nice to you, Shamali.
With love.
I'm like so nice. Yeah. Okay, I can do better at all of these, but I think cooking prasadam.
If I said that, Shama, you would give me so much crap.
I would not. I would be like, that's true.
Focus. Answer the question. Oh, what are you going to do? No, I'm telling Shama.
Interrupted me. Priya, say something to her.
Okay, first of all, just read the book. And what are you going to do?
I think my life is so crazy and I'm always just traveling and running around and doing 75 million things. And sometimes it's just easier to pick something up from the market that is already cooked. But I need to get better at like making prasad at home and offering prasad at home.
And you're a great cook. So
You are.
You make yummy stuff.
Do I?
You do. Yeah.
Name one thing, because I don't know what one thing.
You've made me like fish tacos, and those were really good.
Oh, yeah. Fish tacos.
Oh, yes. Obviously. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What should we call them? That's a good point.
Because to us, we understand, but to anyone who's just tuning in, we are all vegetarians.
Oh, vegan fish tacos.
They're vegan. Yeah. 100%.
Oh, that's a good point.
I make good salads.
I make really good salads.
You made two different types of salad that one time, and they were both very good.
Thank you, Shamali.
If I think about it more, I'll come up with
a wrench. You're welcome. That was me handing it just so you don't get confused.
Also, another thing you said is you were wanting to borrow a book from me.
Oh, yeah.
So you're also reading more.
Chasing Rhinos. Mm. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to borrow that from Priya.
And read more.
And
And make Krishna some prasad, homemade prasad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So see what we all did? Because we have to grow in this. We have in our love for Krishna and our devotion for Krishna. And there's always, always, always room for improvement. I know I was being hard on both of you, but there's always room for improvement. And if we are doing it, the three of us, I hope the people who are listening at home is like, where can you grow in your devotional service?
Yeah.
Is it more chanting? Is it more reading? Is it more cooking prasad for Krishna? Is it going to the market to buy things for Krishna?
Yeah.
So think about that in your daily lives.
Oh, I was also thinking, this might be a little tangent, Shamali, so if you wanted to add something relevant.
Just super brief, just one thing that I found helpful in wanting to either hear more on Audible or read more is I oftentimes waited till I had a big chunk of time and that just wouldn't happen. And a lot of in-between moments add up to something big. So whenever I'm getting ready, like brushing my teeth, whatever, I'll have the Audible playing of the Bhagavatam. Right. Or even I started connecting to the loudspeaker. So when I shower, I put it up louder and I just keep listening to the Bhagavatam in all the in-between moments. They add up. Just within the past couple of days, I heard like 3 chapters of Canto 5 with all the in-between moments. You're putting your face creams on, you're listening. It's so nice because instead of thinking of God knows where your mind goes in all those moments, I'm listening to the Bhagavatam. So
I love that. And that actually connects to what I was going to say.
Oh, nice.
I was recently in a class. I can't remember who was giving the class, but it was Jaidoita Maharaj. He was here visiting and he did like this program on a Thursday night for like the college campuses and stuff. Anyways, it was really cool. And I feel like this was Jaidoita Maharaj. I wrote notes about it. But anyways, off the top of my head, something that someone asked the question, can we just listen? Right? Because oftentimes we are like, there's so many ways in which we can connect to Krishna, right? And so there's like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smartanam. Like there's like hearing and chanting and like all these different ways to serve Krishna. Right. And so I think it was Jaidoita Maharaj and I think he said, yes, try to listen. You can just listen as long as you're listening all the time.
Oh, so let me understand. He didn't yell at the person, that means you can't read. Was that his answer?
No.
That's pretty funny though.
But what it made me feel was like, imagine, like I want to make this more of a thing for myself also, right, where like I've been wanting like one of those Prabhupada chanting boxes that you can just leave on all the time. Yeah. And I've never been able, I don't know, like I've tried looking for one, but I haven't found one that's like the right, there's like different ones of Prabhupada anyways.
Right.
And to just have in the background all the time. And like you're saying, listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam as you're doing things, like having more of that constantly in my life is something that I'm like, I think that would be super cool to do.
Right.
And it's like another way to always be connected to Krishna.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was a really cool separate thought, right? Instead of having to do a million things, you can just always try to have Krishna around you by hearing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, there's, I think, studies that show that similar thoughts just circle in a loop throughout our day. Mm-hmm. So we don't need to be thinking that many times about the same thoughts that are in a loop. So listen. Yeah.
And I think this is important. I was in a sangha with my mentor like 2 weeks ago, and she talked about this Prabhupada quote. And he said, you have had billions of births. Mm. All of us have had billions of births. And we have always given those lives simply to sense gratification. Mm. If you give just one birth to Krishna, you will not be the loser.
Mm.
Just give one to Krishna. Just one lifetime to Krishna.
Wait, read it again?
Right? Okay. You have had billions of births. All of us have had billions of births. And we have always given those lives simply to sense gratification. Mm. If you give one birth to Krishna, you will not be the loser. Just give one to Krishna, one lifetime.
Beautiful.
And so I want you to really like think about like what's keeping you from giving this one lifetime to Krishna. Because it's just one lifetime. We've been here over and over and over again, right? And then think about like, what can you do? Like one thing or two things like that helps you dedicate this one lifetime to Krishna.
Mm. Ooh, can I share something?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is like a scary thing to think or say. I don't know. Okay. I sometimes think to myself, like, I'm so grateful for my life. Do I have struggles? 100%. Do I have like ongoing difficulties? Like the same as everybody else does, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so grateful for my life. Like I'm so grateful to have been brought up in Krishna consciousness. I'm so grateful to have Krishna in my life because when I feel lonely, I know he's there. And like, that's such a reassuring thought. And I'm so grateful to be part of this Los Angeles community and to know all of you because I feel nourished and like really supported by everyone. And at the end of the day, like I see my life as I'm trying to do service. I'm trying to be a better person. I'm trying to continue to connect with Krishna. And sometimes I think, well, if in this process I am, you know, meeting new people and talking about Krishna and doing service, like I can do this for many more lifetimes.
Mm.
And I think that thought process, I think my mind is wired to be a positive person. So even with the struggles in my life, I generally just have like a sunny disposition.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost don't get caught up in the negative, which I think is sometimes useful to get more attached to Krishna, right? Like to get more attached to this idea of never coming back. And I struggle with that sometimes because I'm like, well, if I can just keep doing service and I can keep having a good association and I can keep kind of living my life peacefully, then like maybe another lifetime isn't so bad.
But then you have to remember that in Kali Yuga, it's only going to get worse and worse. Yeah. And the AI robots are going to eat us. Okay. So you have to think about that too.
Well, that too. That too.
Yes.
Great thought.
Thank you. I like to think of myself as the most academic one out of the three of us. But I get it. But like, the service and like, yeah, I love doing this with you. If I was doing this for multiple lifetimes with you guys, amazing. But I think Kali Yuga will make the external environment so much worse and harder.
Right. But at the same time, that's a nice thought, Priya. That's kind of the mood of like, just engage me in your service. Don't they say devotees don't even want liberation? So I think most devotees, if we're being realistic, yeah, we don't want to continue taking a bunch of births, but that's a very nice, I think the place that that thought is coming from is the right mood.
I think yes, but I also don't want to be complacent, right? I think a lot, I can see my, like whenever for me, I'm going to say this, this is just my opinion. And actually Abhijit and I were talking about this the other day, the same idea. But for me, like seeing Shama Sangeeta. Yes.
C'est moi.
You don't even know where this is going.
Oh, geez. No, I'm not so excited.
Seeing you from like the day I've like met you to the today, I can see how slowly you've like become a more and better and better devotee. Like, no, I mean, it's only been six.
That's what you want to emphasize, Shama? Slowly. She said slowly, like so slowly. Wait, can you shut up? Okay. She's saying something nice about me. So can you just repeat it again?
Yes. No, thank you. Ladies.
I love you. The deeper our bond has grown, the more this back and forth.
Can you repeat all of that again?
Yeah. So basically, the way I see you, thank you. The way I see you is that you have grown in your Krishna consciousness. You've grown more attached to never coming back in this lifetime. Yeah. You have grown into how you communicate about Krishna and how you're engaged in Krishna consciousness. Like I've seen you grow more and more attached to Krishna as the years have gone on in the most beautiful way. Like you've grown as a person. You've like, yeah. I see it. Like to me, you're like a very visible example of someone who has known Krishna for some time and then decided to make Krishna their whole life. And then did that every year, every day for the last many years. And you've been doing so. And that's not to say that you're like perfect, but like, that's to say that
she goes, yes, I am.
That you figured out like how to regulate yourself and how to chant your japa and how to do this and how to do that and how to do services and how to engage yourself in meaningful service too. Like things that are very practical to who you are. And you're also like really balanced. Like, I think you're an amazing example of a devotee.
You and Abhijit were talking about that the other day.
Well, also about the concept of how it's easy to get complacent and not get to that mood that you have. And I think it's such a lovely mood of saying like, I don't want to get stuck here in this material world. I want to keep moving forward. And I think I want to be more like you because I feel like I'm too comfortable in my, well, I can just do service and I can just, you know, keep living this life. And like, do you know, you know what I mean?
Oh, I get it. First of all, thank you so much for saying that. That is very, very kind of you. I'm going to take that to heart. For two things. So I am deathly afraid, first and foremost, of the AI flesh eating robots. Oh, so that I just want to make that very clear. The second thing is, and more seriously, I think it's because of like the car accident, whereas like when your life flashes before your eyes, literally, like you realize that this life is so short. Yeah. It's so short and it can be taken from us at any moment. And like, I think my Krishna conscious journey started the moment that other car hit us. Like truly, because before then I was like a whimsical devotee. I was just like, okay, I'll chant around. Yeah. I think I was more like whimsical. And yes. Priya's nodding her head.
I've known Shama for a while.
Wait, like explain.
I would agree. Yeah. Like I think you were like just happy to take whatever you could from Krishna consciousness, but it wasn't like your goal or mission per se. Like you were just happy to be in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. And it was very whimsical. Like I would chant some rounds here, some rounds never, right? Like,
wait, can we talk about how you would do Ekadashi?
Go ahead. Do it.
Shama thought that Ekadashi meant you couldn't have rice, but she would have all the other grains.
I would have beans on top of beans on top of beans.
That was really
I thought
funny.
It was just rice. Yeah.
I don't know how you went that long with thinking it was just
right?
She's like, that's what mama said, and I'm not going to ask any questions.
I that's how I went through life. I just covered my eyes and just be like, okay, if I don't know it, ignorance is bliss, right? Aww. Like, so whimsical, right? And even, like, I would only do Nirjala Kadashi when I stopped doing the rice and beans thing, right? Mm. And then I would just pick and choose the rules I wanted to follow, right? Like, very whimsically. I'd be like, okay, this is not my vibe today, so I'm not going to follow that regulation. You know what I mean? So, like, it was very whimsical. Yeah. But the moment the car accident happened, and Shamali, you can probably attest to this too, but, like, you're literally life or death, right? Yeah. And you're in the hospital and you don't know if your friends are dead or alive, you know? Mm. And so, like, that was just like, oh my God, I can't mess around anymore, you know? Mm. And so, like, that's what really propelled that.
Right. I think on the outside, you both have strong elements of what we all want. I think Priya, you're good at observing the good in Asta and Shama, but you both have something really valuable. And I think everything Priya said about you, absolutely, jokes aside.
Thank you, Shamali.
I think you do what Vaisheshika Maharaj says, that our spiritual life is dependent on how we arrange our material life. And I think you have that grit, that sense of urgency of, I got to structure my material life so that my spiritual life can flourish. And you're very set, goal-oriented on that. And Priya, I think you have a mood that is valuable. Like, sure, we can always keep applying stuff. So maybe for you, you're thinking, oh, I want more of what Shama has in that element. But I see what you have as something that we hear all the time, that devotees really, whether they're liberated or not, they just want to serve Krishna. And that's a beautiful mood. So I think merging what you both have is a beautiful thing, you know?
Mm. Yeah, like continuously serving and knowing the importance of serving and doing devotional service to Krishna, but also to the devotees, and like doing that lifetime after lifetime, and knowing that, like, if we don't go back to Krishna in this lifetime, then we just got to try harder in the next lifetime and keep serving, right? Yeah.
I just wish there was something, like, because I learned by seeing others, right? Mm. Like, I learned from others observing. I'm very analytical too. Yeah. But, like, you can learn from somebody else their experience about, like, a car crash where they almost died. Like,
I could try to run you over after this podcast. If that's what you need, I'll do it.
How about no? No, I just wish there was something that, like, could help
good one
get that sense of urgency.
I thought it was pretty funny.
It was funny.
Sorry, continue.
No, yeah.
Something that would give you the sense of urgency.
Yeah, I think, maybe it will come.
The fact that you're even just thinking about that to me is like most of the battle already won. The fact that you're thinking of, I want to have that urgency, and you already have the elements there of just wanting to serve Krishna. So to me, it's like, it's a done deal. Just keeping that urgency in mind then. Yeah. That's it.
And also praying about it too, right? Like, ask Krishna, like, I really want to, whatever you want to do, XYZ, right? In your devotional service, like, and asking Krishna for that, right? Like, sincerely and every day. Mm. And I think that's important.
Yeah, I think maybe Krishna knows I'm not ready. Mm. Like, also, right? Like, there's like a sense of, like, you got to go at your own steady rhythm. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot force it and go at a different rhythm. Doesn't match where you're at. And, like, this is where I'm at. And, like, I just got to keep being steady until something changes. And that's okay too. Like, it's okay too. Like, I got to tell myself that, because I'm like, oh gosh, you know, I don't know. It's just
everyone, time, place, circumstance, right? Like, if that car accident happened when I was 22, I wouldn't be able to receive the messages from that, you know, and like get my butt in order to be more devotional. Right. So I think everything, you're right, has its time, place, and circumstance.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, ladies, shall we continue to the next text?
Yeah. Text 3.
3/4.
Okay. Who's speaking?
Shamali.
No, I know, but I mean Arjuna or Krishna. Oh,
okay. Krishna speaking.
Oh, nice. I know, I was getting ready in my old man stance to read, so I knew it was me. Okay, Krishna says, but those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed, and immovable, the impersonal conception. I'm lost. Can I start over?
Yeah. You're going to have to read this a couple times. Okay. I'm lost too.
So, but those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed, and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all at last achieve me.
Wow. Let's break that down.
No idea what you just said.
It's a very long, like, sentence structure, but basically I mean, do you want me to read it again? Or can
I read it again.
Or read it in chunks and then we'll just.
But those who fully worship the unmanifested.
What does that mean? Unmanifested.
The non-personal form of Krishna.
Exactly. Nice.
Boom. Very good.
The non-personal. And then he clarifies, meaning that which lies beyond the perception of the senses.
So not something you can see, smell, touch.
Totally.
So it's something beyond that. You can't see it, smell, whatever. Yes.
The all-pervading. He's naming different ways to name the impersonal aspect of Krishna.
So it's always there.
Exactly. Inconceivable.
Hard to understand.
Mm. Unchanging.
Well, that's clear.
Unchanging.
Fixed and immovable.
Fixed and immovable.
Mm. Nice. Yep. The impersonal conception of the absolute truth.
So all of those things add up to the impersonal conception of Krishna.
So not the personal form of Krishna.
Got it.
Okay. So basically those who worship the, what we just said.
Impersonal form of Krishna.
By controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone.
So they have to, they worship the,
they worship the impersonal
form of Krishna. They also control their senses and are equally disposed to everyone, which means they're kind,
they're
fair
nice to everybody.
Yes.
Right. Such persons engaged in the welfare of all at last achieve me.
Ooh.
They also are engaged in the welfare of all. So they are kind of humanitarians. They take care of others, right?
Mm-hmm.
At last achieve me. And the reason I'm clarifying it like that is because when I think of that, I think of like my grandmother, for example, devout Christian, right? I don't know if that qualifies as the
impersonal form of Krishna.
I don't know, because it's like
she does worship God. Yes.
God,
so yeah, maybe that
form
is the impersonal form.
Someone who cares about others and treats everyone equally. I don't know. Now I don't know if it's my grandma.
We're working through that one. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, basically it's kind of saying this is the less direct route. When you want to worship Krishna personally through direct devotional service, that's the one track easier route. Now, if you want to go through the impersonal route, this whole roundabout text almost matches the roundabout way that it's more difficult to achieve the impersonal, because Prabhupada says after many births, the man of wisdom, meaning the one who seeks the impersonal form, seeks refuge in me. Basically, it ultimately will lead him to the personal conception of Krishna.
I'm still trying to picture what kind of person this is. And now I'm thinking it might be more of like a person who believes, oh, I just have to become like a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Like my whole goal in life is to become a better version of myself. I should just volunteer and do good things for others. And I believe in God and I'm grateful to God in some form. Maybe it's in nature. Maybe it's in this or this or that. But like my goal is just to be a good person. And then like he's saying basically through a very long process, this person also gets to him.
Right. Cause maybe they'll start engaging and helping people. And the next step, I mean, there's so many different routes, but then maybe he'll realize, oh, maybe giving people like some spiritual path is the only way. Cause ultimately there's no other way to help them. And then that'll like one thought will keep leading to the other until they finally come to the conclusion. Oh, direct devotional service is the way to go.
Prabhupada says last line, he says, but for the common man, this method of impersonal realization is very difficult.
Right.
Makes sense. Let's stick to the personal form, shall we, ladies?
Right.
Anything else before we wrap up?
Because Prabhupada, right before that line you read, Shama, he kind of, outlines how difficult it is, because in order to perceive the super soul within our individual soul, so basically in order to see Krishna in everyone's heart, one has to stop the activities of seeing, hearing, tasting, working, etc. That's if you're going to go through the impersonal route. Then after that, we have to come to understand that the supreme soul or Krishna is present everywhere. And then once we realize this, then we have to reach the level of we don't envy anyone. We don't see any difference between a man and an animal, because we see on the soul level, not just the outer covering. So he basically is saying all the steps that it's hard to do that. Just
like basically in order to achieve Krishna without being Krishna conscious, you still have to realize you're not this body. You still have to realize everybody else's soul. But how do you realize those things without the Krishna conscious aspects and the literature and the Vedic knowledge? It's a harder process.
Right. Very, very difficult.
Very difficult.
All right. Please join us next time. We will be on chapter 12, text number 5.
See you guys next time.
Bye. Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.